D, you're up.
Hello, and welcome to another broadcast of NHSCA Sports Hour. This show and all other shows can be downloaded on demand and for free at artistfirst.com. And now your host, Jeff Fisher.
Good evening, high school sports fans. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour for February the 2nd. I am Jeff Fisher, the founder and editor-in-chief of High School Football America, settling in for 2 hours' worth of sports talk here on the Artist First Radio Network tonight. When we wrap things up here, top of the hour, 7 o'clock Eastern time, we roll it right into High School Football America, and a little bit later we'll tell you about the guest on that show. But let's get started with the guest on this show this evening. We have an all-basketball show tonight, and it's a good one. We will start things off in about 5 minutes with State Senator Mike Dell from Indiana. He is pushing to return Indiana to a one-class state when it comes to the basketball tournament. That's the way it used to be up until 1998, and the senator will stop by and talk about legislation that he had proposed and then a change that was made by the State Athletic Association, where they're going to take some public input to see what John Q. Public thinks of the move back to a one-class state tournament. Also on the show tonight, we will have Jerry Peters from Memphis University School in Memphis, Tennessee. Quite a milestone. He became the 11th coach in American basketball history, high school level, to win 1,000 games. He did that on Monday, and we'll follow it up with Mike Flaherty. He hit a milestone last Friday when he won his 700th game. Mike is currently the head coach at Mount Carmel High School in Chicago, Illinois. Now, we also want to remind you that GTM Sportswear is the proud sponsor of the NHSCA Athlete of the Month, and GTM Sportswear has six athletes up for nomination. You can go to NHSCA.com to learn more about each and every one of our athletes. We'll get things kicked off as we'll go through the six nominees for the month of February, with the voting closes on February the 27th. Nominated in basketball is Tyra Buss, a sophomore at Mount Carmel High School in Chicago. We talked about the boys a little earlier with Mike Flaherty. Now on the girls' side, she's pretty special. She scored 1,025 points last season as a freshman. That was a state record in Illinois, and she's been doing it all season long. She, at one point last year, was in Sports Illustrated's Faces in the Crowd section, just 5'6" tall, but scoring a lot of points. And again, just a sophomore at this point. In wrestling, nominated is Mark Gray from Blair Academy in New Jersey. Really one of the top-rated wrestlers in the country, number one in his weight class, and he is a three-time defending national prep champ, going for the four-peat this year. Another wrestler nominated this month is Isaiah Martinez, a junior at Lemoore High School in Lemoore, California, one of the nation's top junior wrestlers at the 152-pound weight class. He is a defending 140-pound champion as a sophomore in California. Football side of things, it's Siler Miles, a senior from Mullen High School in Denver, Colorado, played excellent football in the U.S. Army All-American Bowl. He ended up being the co-MVP after throwing, completing 7 of 8 passes for 155 yards and one touchdown. He also rushed for a touchdown. Then we have a senior basketball player out of New York, out of Cicero, New York, from Cicero North Syracuse High School. It's Brianna Stewart, the 6'3" forward, a University of Connecticut recruit, has been named the U.S. Basketball Female Athlete of the Year in 2011. She is one of the top players in the country as a junior, averaged 24 points and 11 rebounds per contest. And our last nominee of the six is LaJordan Wilkerson, a senior basketball player at Winston High School in Winston, Texas. A couple of times this year he scored over 50 points in a game, and he's also averaging 40 points per contest. As a football player on the six-man program at Winston High School, in his opening game this year, he ran for several different touchdowns in that game, and for the season he ran for 13 touchdowns. So again, that's the GTM Sportswear Athlete of the Month nominees for the month of February. Go to NHSCA.com to vote for your favorite athlete. There's also bigger bios on there that you can learn more about. I want to thank our other sponsors aside from GTM Sportswear: XCNation.com, CrossCountryNation.com is the premier site in the country that keeps up to date, keeps you up to date on all that's going on in boys and girls cross country at the high school level. We also want to thank Dr. Jared Spencer, Mind of the Athlete, GTM's Sportswear, Gatorade's G Series, U.S. Navy, Cliff Keen, Dollemure, and All American Wrestling Supply. Going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk talk some basketball from the state of Indiana with State Senator Mike Delf. He's going to talk about his desire to take the state away from a multiple class championship basketball tournament and return it to what it used to be. The movie Hoosiers was built on it, and a one-class system is what Senator Mike Delf wants. We will talk with the senator when we come back. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top-secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines, made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
When tornadoes raked the South, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. As communities lay in ruins, it was the hams who let their families know their loved ones were safe. When the power and cell phones went out, the hams were there, helping rescuers get the message through. Wherever catastrophes strike, amateur radio is ready. Amateur radio works when other communications don't. Contact the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, on the web at emergencyradio.org. That's emergencyradio.org.
Look around you. One in four kids in the U.S. faces hunger. It's not always easy to see the signs, but in this land of plenty, there are kids who don't know where they'll get their next meal. Join Share Our Strength and take the pledge to end childhood hunger here in America by 2015. Learn how at nokidhungry.org. Their next meal could come from you.
You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World, the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you could make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
Great night on the NHSCA Sports Hour tonight. All basketball for you tonight, and we're going to kick things off in the state of Indiana, kind of the breeding ground for all that is good with high school basketball. For those of you that love Hoosiers like I do, got a gentleman that's going to step in here right now, Senator Mike Delf, who believes that some things that are so good should always stay that way. The state back in 1998 changed to a four-class championship system, which replaced the one-class system, and Senator Delf is at the forefront of trying to change that and go back to the traditions. And Senator Delf joins me right now to talk about it. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me on the show. It's an honor to be here, and I'm glad to know that there are other people across the country that love basketball the way that I do, and especially love Indiana basketball.
Well, tradition is tradition, and let's kind of start with the impetus. You proposed some legislation that included a change back to the one-class system. So why don't we go through the history of this for our listeners, because I know you ended up pulling it off the table because the Indiana High School Athletic Association did take some of your thoughts, and they're going to do something on public input. Let's start from the beginning, though. So let's talk about the legislation that led you to kind of, come to the forefront front in Indiana with this idea.
Well, we introduced a bill, Senate Bill 236, and it had multiple components in it dealing with the aspects of public education. Under our Indiana State Constitution, specifically Article 8, the Indiana General Assembly has just about complete authority over all things public education related in our state. And I know the IHSAA is an association of schools, but they're mainly made up of public schools. And so I would argue that we even have authority over sports or athletics in public education. And so one of the issues that's percolated since 1998 has been this issue of, why did we go to class basketball? How can we return to something that was part of our cultural identity as a state, something that brought our state together from all corners of the state once a year, and that was our single-class basketball tournament, both on the boys' and girls' sides. And so we put that proposal in there that generated a lot of public interest, passionate arguments on both sides of the issue. And during the committee discussion that we had earlier this winter, it was actually my high school government teacher had approached me, who is very, his name is Lee Lonzo. He was my government teacher at Carmel High School many years ago. But he's very close with Bobby Cox, the commissioner of the IHSAA. And Lee had reached out to me really to defend the organization. And he's somebody I have a great amount of respect and admiration for. And he basically established a dialogue between me and Bobby Cox, the commissioner, which led to an offer to go on the road throughout the state through a series of public meetings to get public input to find out, you know, what the people of the state of Indiana would like to see happen with our basketball tournament. Would they like to return to the pre-1998 single class system, or would they like to drive on with the current multiple class system? And so we're going to actually do a press conference announcing this later on in March, but we're planning to go to Milan, to Connersville, to Plymouth, and to Gary Roosevelt and to other schools who really made a name for themselves and a reputation for themselves statewide because of their run through the single class basketball tournament. And I'm very excited about that, and I'm very honored to be a part of that, and excited and thankful that the commissioner has decided to give this a fair and balanced hearing.
Sure, you didn't have to go to the vote. You pulled it out. We're talking with Senator Mike Delf in Indiana tonight, talking about the return to Indiana's single-class high school basketball tournament. It hasn't been there since 98. Of course, Milan High is the infamous Hickory in Hoosiers and all that. I don't know if surprised is the right word, but when you heard that Bobby Cox, the commissioner of the State Athletic Association, was going to go for public input, how happy were you with that decision?
Oh, I was very happy about it. I mean, this is an issue that we've thought was not going to ever be discussed by the organization, the IHSAA, which runs high school athletics in the state of Indiana. And I've met with Bobby privately now a couple times, and I believe he's a man of his word. I don't think he personally wants to see us go back to the pre-1998 system. But he has communicated to me that he believes that the public should have a say and an input, and that schools ought to listen to their communities. And so, I told him I would take the provision out of the bill that dealt with this issue, and I would go on the road with him, and he would develop a report from the perspective of the public, from the perspective of principals and athletic directors, and also from the perspective of students. You know, we want to do the right thing for the state of Indiana. Mm-hmm. And the comment that I made over and over again is that, you know, basketball in Indiana is unlike any other sport. It has a special status, whether we like to admit it or not. And it's part of our state identity, and we need to respect that, and we need to embrace it as well. And I think that single-class basketball tournament, whether you're talking about Bobby Plump hitting the last second shot for Milan, or Mike and Chris Heineman bringing Connersville to the state final, or Scott Skiles bringing Plymouth, you know, there are stories that have made legends out of both schools and student-athletes. And, if you look back over the last 10 years at the basketball tournaments, most people cannot remember names of players or schools or Mr. Basketballs, and it's just a totally different situation. Now, the argument against that is, well, we've had the rise of technology and other things that occupy people's time and attention, and they're not paying as much attention to basketball. I think part of the reason why they're not paying as much attention to basketball is because we've lost some of that mystique when we lost our tournament.
Agreed. And those stories you're talking about are more than just Indiana stories. They're definitely regional, in a lot of cases national. Talking with Senator Mike Delf tonight out of Indiana, trying to go back to a one-class system in basketball, girls and boys side. As you take this roadshow out there, and we'll just call it a roadshow, as you go out for the public input with the State Athletic Association and Bobby Cox, what do you think the feedback is going to be? I mean, you know, if you had a crystal ball, I mean, is this a 50-50 thing right now as far as the public? Is it 80-20 in favor? Do you have any sense of what type of feedback you're going to get?
I think the public is going to be strongly in favor of returning to a one-class system. I think the education bureaucracy is going to fight it. They're going to want to maintain the status quo. And I think some of the smaller schools are probably going to want to maintain the status quo as well, because there is some merit to the argument that some of these smaller schools really took a beating year in and year out by some of the bigger schools in their area. But it was that every once in a while time, that circumstance where a small school from nowhere would start making a run through the tournament, that whole David versus Goliath mm-hmm. mentality that would get the state very excited. The last one that I remember was the run that Bedford North Lawrence made with Damon Bailey, who is one of our Hoosier basketball heroes and a legend of Indiana basketball. And people remember those. We still talk about those stories even, 10, 15 years down the road. And so, the basketball system, the way it was before, was one of the ways that I learned the geography of the state of Indiana. Mm. And I remember those stories growing up. I remember watching the regionals and the semi-state and the state finals. They'd play a game in the morning and then, two games in the morning and then a championship at night. And I remember watching these guys, Steve Alford in Newcastle. And these were all heroes to me growing up. And I just wish young people would have that same sort of experience as I did as a young man.
No, I agree. It's funny because, again, not having grown up in Indiana or just kind of driving through, I mean, when you're throwing out these names, whether it's Bailey or Alford, I mean, these are national names, and I think you've hit on something here as far as the tradition. Is this something personal for you? You mentioned you know the names, but I mean, what was your life like growing up? Did you play high school basketball? Was it part of the family fabric?
I was a football player, and I played basketball like I played football with the mouthpiece, and so I was dangerous down low under the basket, but basketball was not my. But I love playing basketball. In Indiana, everybody grows up playing basketball. Mm-hmm. Everybody grows up with that 3-2-1 shot clock hitting the last second shot. It's part of our identity. But we also had Lyndon Jones and Jay Edwards and Marion and Glenn Robinson up north and Gary and just a lot of basketball greatness from the state of Indiana, and we just I think we need to get back to that. We need to get back and we need to embrace basketball as the predominant sport and cherish it as part of our state identity. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and of course.
Other thing just to point out is. The last couple of years at the collegiate level, we had this brought back to us in many ways when the Butler Bulldogs made their improbable run to the national tournament
yep.
Championship game. And it was that feeling that the nation experienced with Butler that the state of Indiana would often experience with our single class basketball system, which is one of the reasons why I think this is the right time to revisit the issue, because we just had that feeling last year and the year before.
You know, it's funny you just took the question out of my mouth, because that's what I was going to ask you, and obviously the re-energizing of University of Indiana this year as well, so you've got, a couple
absolutely.
Of things there. But let's wrap up with two quick questions. We're talking to State Senator Mike Delf out of Indiana, and actually you're in a pretty good football area too. We know the Greyhounds of Carmel High School are a very good program, but we're talking basketball tonight. So let's go to the what if. So let's say you do this roadshow. The public input is very, very in favor of returning to a one-class system. I mean, what goes on from here? I mean, is there a referendum? Is this all in the hands of the State Athletic Association? What do you see playing out if it is a positive feedback?
Well, we're going to allow the process to move forward. Right now it's in the hands of the IHSA or IHSAA to make a decision based upon the feedback. I do want to be deferential to them at this point in time in the process, but it would be my hope that if the public is overwhelmingly in favor of returning, that they would return the tournament to the single class system. I would hope that we would not get in a situation where, the public was overwhelmingly in favor of this and they chose to not do something. At that point in time, the legislature may involve itself again. But I take Bobby Cox and the board at their word that they're going to give this every due consideration, and it's going to be up to the public in the state of Indiana to turn out and raise its voice directly to the IHSAA. That's why we're going to go to Milan and Connersville and Plymouth and Newcastle and Gary and Maryville and Vincennes and Plainfield and all over the state of Indiana to hear from the people.
Well, I applaud your efforts on this. To me, it's not a political issue. It's just what's good for the kids in the state. And like you said, there's arguments on both sides. But I really appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show tonight, Senator, and explaining what's going on there to go back to the tradition of Indiana high school basketball. So thank you.
Thank you so much. And if you could be so kind to send my staff a link to the show, I'd love to hear the rebroadcast.
Absolutely, we will do that. And by the way, maybe you will get that Hoosier Hollywood ending. Maybe the public groundswell is there, and it goes the way that you hope it will. And maybe Hollywood will help you out a little bit in this one.
That's what we're trying to do, and all we can do is try and work our best towards the goal. That's what we're doing right now.
All right, thank you. That is State Senator Mike Delf. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the NHSCA Sports Hour, we're going to go to the state of Tennessee, and a young man, and I use that tongue-in-cheek, 73 years old. He won his 1,000th game at Memphis University School. We'll talk to Jerry Peters when we come back. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy, accelerate your life.
Not adjust your radio frequency. This is not a test. This is the Artist First Network. Cool.
Welcome to the Artist First Network, a weekly program featuring the best independent artists anywhere.
Damn it, get the hell out of my kitchen.
Just hit the Artist First Network. Now you're going to jail for assault.
This is the Artist First Network, the network of independent artists. Each week, the Artist First Network brings you the newest and brightest of independent and undiscovered artists.
Hi, the latest project was recorded. I can get through this. Can we keep it rolling?
Hi. Big Daddy, Big Daddy and the Generators. This next cut is called Baby, You're So Hot. Cut. Damn it. Damn it, Jim. Alright, here, give me another crack at that one. Quit laughing at me.
Where's the web? I told you. www.artistfirst.com.
Welcome to the Artist First Network.
Back on the National High School Coaches Show tonight, just a wonderful evening for Milestones. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to be in Chicago to talk with Mike Flaherty, the head basketball coach at Mount Carmel. He won his 700th game last week, and we've got a guy that's coming up here that did him 300 victories better. In fact, he is only the 11th high school basketball coach in America to reach 1,000 victories. His name is Jerry Peters. He coaches at Memphis University School in Memphis, Tennessee, and Coach Peters joins us now to talk about the milestone that was set just earlier this week. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. I always love when you have somebody that has been there, done that, and seen a lot of things that can kind of, you know, teach our listeners how the game has changed over the years. And obviously, your 47-36 win against First Assembly Christian was a big one, your 1,000th. So let's start in the present and talk about that first one. What goes through your mind when the horn sounds and you know you've won 1,000 in your career?
Well, Jeff, it so happens that I won all 1,000 games at Memphis University School. And the thing that hit me was players who recorded win number one are related to those who recorded win number 1,000.
Okay. So can you kind of tie that big line there? Because I know I read in one of the articles that one of your team captains on the 64-65 team, is it Tro Gillespie? Is that the way? Or Trow Gillespie?
Tro Gillespie.
Okay. So he had talked to you a little bit about things. So tie the two together. How is it, you know, just as important today as it was back in 64?
Well, Tro was at the game Monday night. And we introduced Tro to Norris Fox, who's the captain of our team this year, and I thought this was unique.
No, it's absolutely unique. So let's talk a little bit about the biggest changes. The one thing that I found out about you and reading about you before this interview is you're a guy that believes in setting a foundation, and it hasn't really wavered over the course of the years. So let's start about the foundation. So when you took over back in 64, what were some of the principles that you knew that you were going to carry through no matter how long you were at Memphis University School?
Well, first would be discipline. Kids want discipline. They also want direction. And we tried to head them in the direction of the right way to do things, everything.
So is this sort of, I think I also read somewhere, you know, John Wooden, of course, had his pyramid there. They kind of, in one article, I think, related that you had that same sort of thing. Is it the same sort of principle? In other words, if you do things right from the start and you continue to do that, good things happen. Is that a fair way to, you know, give you a little analysis on how you coach?
Very much so. In fact, the very first coaching clinic that I ever attended, John Wooden was a speaker, I'm forever indebted to Coach Wooden for guiding me with these principles.
Okay. We are talking with Jerry Peters tonight on the NHSCA Sports Hour. Coach Peters just became the 11th man in high school basketball history to win 1,000 games. He did it on Monday night. He's talking about that. I guess it's unfair to say, is there a game or two that stands out over the course of an illustrious career? But is there, you know, one or two games or a couple of seasons that you can look back on and it really puts a smile on your face?
Well, just about every season puts a smile on my face, but I guess I would have to start with our state championship team in 2007. This was a team that came on strong at the end of the year. We won our last 10 games by double-digit margins, and we had not been that strong a team up until that point.
Okay, so go ahead, keep going.
That would be one team. Another team would be a team that, it would be the first team. The first team, we won 24 games, lost four. And it was a remarkable team. We had another team that won 27 and 2. A team that my son played on was 30-1. We were a good team in all those years, but we tripped up in the last game of the year.
Okay. So what have you learned about yourself, obviously, when you got into the sport of coaching, or coaching sports, I should say, that you never set out to set, you know, milestones like 1,000 victories and all that? How have you grown over the course of the years?
Well, I've learned to accept defeat and try to get from a defeat as much as possible. I don't think of defeats as a negative. I think as a positive by learning from defeats.
Mm-hmm. If someone would have said back to you in 1964, Coach, you're going to win 1,000 games before you step away, and I know you're stepping away at the end of this season, what would you have said to somebody that said that to you?
Well, I would say that's unbelievable. really, though, what I do is try and take one practice at a time, one game at a time, and I really haven't looked at it in terms of numbers. Mm-hmm. I've just looked at it in terms of experiences.
Okay, we're talking with Coach Jerry Peters of Memphis University School in Memphis, Tennessee. Won his 1,000th game earlier this week. You will be stepping down at the end of this season. So tell the listeners a little bit what went into that decision to step down and how you intend on going out on a high note aside from just having a 1,000th victory.
Well, I've experienced some health issues that's more or less forced me to go out. I had a stroke in 2007, the year of our state championship team, and last year I had a severe case of shingles that kept me from coaching for about a month and a half. But as far as going out, I'm really not looking at it right now in terms of going out. I feel like we got a real good team this year, and I think we can contend for the state championship again.
Kind of looking for that Hollywood finish. So let's wrap up with you'd like that, right?
I would like that very much.
Well, you know, things happen. In Hollywood, they can happen, and hopefully in the state of Tennessee. You touched on this at the beginning, but I'd love to get your take on the game then and now. You mentioned that your team captain from the 64 squad, Troy Gillespie, met with your current team captain. How have the kids changed in your perspective when it comes to coaching? Have you changed a whole lot when it comes to sitting down and X's and knowing with them and just kind of getting along with them?
Well, I never stay the same. I always change something or another in the way we do things. But as far as the basics go, they have remained pretty much the same. The kids today are bigger, faster, but the game is pretty much the same. It boils down to shooting, ball handling, defense, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And then the last question, when you step aside and you won't have that whistle in your mouth come this time next year, how close will you stay with the game even though you're going to be retired?
Well, first thing, I don't use a whistle.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I won't have to worry about that.
Okay.
I don't want to be accused of looking over anyone's shoulder. I will attend the games. I will take a back seat anytime an assistant coach or a coach from any school wants to talk. I'll be more than happy to talk. But I just don't know how I'll be as a retired coach. That's something I haven't experienced yet.
That will be a work in progress. Well, Coach, congratulations on 1,000 victories. We really appreciate you stopping by tonight to educate our listeners on your career and the school at Memphis University School. So thank you and best of luck, and I hope you get that Hollywood ending and a state championship to go out on.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. That is Head Coach Jerry Peters of Memphis University School in Memphis, Tennessee. Won his 1,000th game with a 47-36 win over First Assembly Christian earlier this week. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to a man who won 700 last week, Mike Flaherty, the head coach at Mount Carmel High School in Chicago, Illinois. That and more when we come back. You're listening to the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network. Thank you.
The major record labels say that downloading music from the internet is stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show.
That sound more like everyone else than anyone else.
When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. Or have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant?
Warning!
Happy Birthday is copyrighted, so if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'll be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money and make sure your friends and family don't either. Better yet, try burning them a CD. If we pull the plug on major labels, music gets better. Find out more about what you can do. Check out downhillbattle.org.
The Navy Seahawk helicopter has a lift capacity of over 6,000 pounds. But when it comes to helping those around the world who need it most, they lift the hopes of millions. To learn more about how the Navy is the best place to do great things, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. It will do you and the world a load of good. Navy. Accelerate your life.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
Welcome back to the NHSCA Sports Hour. Tonight, all basketball. We started things off with Senator Mike Delp in Indiana trying to bring the state back to its one-class tournament. Don't know if that's going to work, but he's fighting hard to do it. And then just a few moments ago, we hung up with the man that just won his 1,000th game at Memphis University School in Memphis, Tennessee, Jerry Peters. And last week, a gentleman in Chicago won his 700th, and he's going to join us right now to talk about that. He is head coach Mike Flaherty at Mount Carmel High School, and Mike is here to talk about that big victory. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thanks, Jeff.
Sure. You know, I've read a little bit about you preparing for this, and I know you're not a guy that counts a lot of numbers or remembers where the numbers come from, but take us back to the win on Friday night, a 58-55 victory to get number 700. What went through your mind when you hit the milestone?
You know, to be honest with you, not a lot. I mean, you know, we've been struggling this year as a team, so and it was more about this team winning its sixth game of the year than it was about, you know, me. We've kind of always stressed to the kids that it's more about the team than about the individual, so I think it would be kind of hypocritical of me to be focusing more on something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I asked Jerry Peters was, you know, okay, so if, and he kind of said the same thing, you know, numbers come when you coach a long time. Can you remember the first victory, the first time you picked up a W as a coach? Is that a little bit more familiar than what happened the other night?
You know, I think the first one was a loss, so I remember the loss, I think. My first season when we weren't very good, and was at Mendel. I got there as a head coach, and we, that first year we struggled. We had basically a brand new team from the previous year, and I just kind of came in, and I remember our first game we got beat pretty badly, and then our second game was a Thanksgiving tournament, and I remember a story in the paper, we actually forfeited because we got lost in a snowstorm, and there were our three or four teams that, you know, kind of ran miles in the snow to get to their game. And then there was Mendel Catholics, Mount Carmel, or Mendel Catholics, Mike Flaherty, who got lost and didn't make it to the game. So it's not an exactly auspicious way to start your coaching career.
Well, you know what I love about guys like you that have been around for a while, and I'm not picking on your age here, but I had a gentleman in Connecticut. He's the winningest coach there, and he's 75 years young, and he said, you know what, Jeff, you gave me too many losses, and I know every loss, but I cannot tell you about wins. So it sounds like you're kind of in that same category. As you look back over the body of work, and I'm going to have to ask you to reminisce a little bit, I guess a lot of your success came at Thorn Ridge and a little before that at Mendel. So, you know, what are some of the things that do stand out in the positive sense? I know you've made it downstate, which means you get to the end of the line, so to speak, in Illinois for people that don't know that. So can you pick out a couple of highlights and tell the listeners a little bit about some of your successes with some of these teams?
Well, again, I'm not sure it's so much games. It seems like people are kind of what stand out in my mind. You know, the guys mm-hmm. that I've coached and the friendships that I've made through coaching. Obviously, I guess, in terms of games, we had a great team in 1982, two really good players in Mike Campen and Andre Banks. And, we got to the state championship game, and then, we really were kind of we had some great role players, but we had two really good players that we kind of did everything around. And, we were fortunate to get there because we didn't have our center was 6'2", and, we had a couple of kind of smaller guards. But, that season kind of stands out. And then, like I say, I'm not sure any individual games kind of stand out mm-hmm. so much as, like I say, the players that were on those teams, when you think back to, different seasons, I guess.
Sure. Let's kind of talk a little bit about the coaching fraternity in Chicago. You said, it's about relationships. I mean, Chicago is obviously a kind of a breeding ground for many, many great coaches that are still on the sidelines along with you. What's the coaching fraternity like for people that don't live in the Chicago area? How tight is the group, and why has it been such a kind of a breeding ground for some great coaches?
I don't know if the fraternities is tight. When I was at Mendel in the 70s and 80s, I mean, all the coaches in the Catholic League used to meet out after games and, get pizza and a beer or pop or something. And same thing when I was in the Sicca East, which was, year in and year out, one of the toughest basketball conferences in the state. We used to meet in. And now, I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm older and I don't go out at night or something, but... in terms of being a fraternity, I think, there's a gap. You have some of the older guys, and then you got a lot of young guys who are kind of coming up. And, like I say, there's so many good teams and so many talented teams in the public league. Mm-hmm. The Catholic League, I don't know if the talent's quite as good, but there's some great coaches. And, every game is a real chore to have success in.
Probably a good segue then when you were talking about the older guys and the younger guys. What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen through the course of time? I mean, you're going to be coming up on four decades here in the sport, and what are some of the things that you say, hey, that it wasn't like it was, and this is better than it was then, or it's better now than it was then? Any comments?
Well, the biggest thing is AAU and just recruiting. I mean, there's, when we had the really good players, at Mendel, they just walked in the door. I mean, we didn't really, go out. I mean, we might have had them in a grammar school tournament and talked to them then, but, some of these kids now are, with all the, internet sites and, blogs and all that kind of stuff, these kids just, they're getting written about and exposed, from in third and fourth grade. So, to get them to come to school is, like I say, therefore to have a great player just walk in the door, it usually doesn't happen. You get a kid who's maybe growing or something like that, and if you put in a lot of work, you can turn him into a good player. But, like I say, when I started in the, in the early 70s, that was still a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Mike Flaherty, head coach at Mount Carmel High School in Chicago, won his 700th career game last Friday night. And let's see, we talked about the coaches. A lot of great players that have come out of here. Derrick Rose obviously comes to mind with the Bulls right now. Kevin Garnett, and the list will go on and on. Isaiah Thomas. Who are some of the toughest players that you've faced as a coach where you can say, man, as a high school kid, you knew that guy was going to make it big?
Well, you know, I think Kevin Garnett, clearly, he played with, you know, Ronnie Fields was kind of a, you know, the name player mm-hmm. when he was in college, and we played against him in a Proviso West tournament. He was just so skilled at that size. I mean, you could just look at him and just tell he was going to, you know, he was going to go on and play. And Isaiah Thomas, you know, I saw him when he was a freshman, you know, he was just small. I mean, you know, he was really a good player, but at that point, you didn't know, you know, how that would translate. You know, and then obviously over the course of 4 years in high school, he got a lot bigger and stronger. And you know, then you could just see how he could control the game with the, you know, the skill level he had. Derrick Rose is just an unbelievable athlete. You know, again, right out of grammar school. So, you know, those are the guys that, you know, I think everybody knows about.
Sure. After 3.5 decades, what keeps you going in the sport?
You know, it's, there's no long range plan. I mean, I just kind of go from year to year. And I actually took an early retirement out of Thornridge. I would have stayed there, but there were some questions about the school at the time, and you know, they kind of got it worked out after I left. But you know, I like coaching, and retiring early gave me the option. I could go to a private school and continue coaching. So, you know, that was kind of what I did. And, you know, I've had, you know, some great kids, you know, at Carmel, and I don't, you know, anticipate, you know, leaving, you know, in the near future. It's I enjoy what I do and mm-hmm. who I'm doing it with. So
a lot of our listeners are fellow coaches. If you're in front of a young man that wants to get into the profession of high school coaching, do you have a couple of nuggets that you would give him, saying, you know, you make sure you step around this pitfall and make sure you do that, and whatever you do, this is really, really key. Do you have some of those nuggets?
Well, you know, I guess the biggest thing is when you're young, and I'm as guilty as this anybody. I think, you know, you know, winning and losing is kind of the be all and end all. And I guess my advice would be, you know, just, you know, try to get your team to be better, you know, and you know, recognize, you know, small accomplishments, and you know, sometimes they don't always translate into wins and losses, but. You know, if the only thing you're going to judge your success by is wins and losses, you know, you're not always going to be happy with what happens, because it's just, you know, the nature of the game. There's not many places where year in and year out you're going to have, you know, incredible talent and just, you know, dominate the teams you play.
Mm-hmm. And let's wrap up with this question. We are talking to Mike Flaherty of Mount Carmel High School in Chicago tonight about a 700th career victory. I just ask you to give some nuggets. Who's the guy that had the biggest impact on you as a coach when you look back and say, well, I remember, you know, 40 years ago he told me this is the way it should be done. Is there somebody that's at the top of that stack?
You know what, probably my biggest influence in basketball by far was a guy by the name of Bill Bumgardner, who played at Loyola, and he lived near out where I did. He had a basketball court in his backyard, and, you know, for a while he coached at Loyola University. And, you know, like I say, if there was one person who, you know, I guess gave me the love of the game and, you know, made me kind of appreciate what hard work and, you know, a good attitude can do, it would have been Bill. He's moved out to California, and I see him, you know, every 3 or 4 years. But he was a great player, and he was a great coach, too. So,
well,
proud of him.
Yeah, you said at the beginning that it was all about relationships, so obviously there's one for a while that you've kept with you. So, hey, congratulations on your 700th victory. As you said, I know you're not counting them, but it's still quite a milestone, and we congratulate you for the success that you've had.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're very welcome. That is Mike Flaherty, head coach at Mount Carmel, won his 700th last Friday. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to the football field and check out the day that was. Yesterday was the National Letter of Intent Day and some big signees around the country. We're going to talk about that and more when we come back. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
Pentec USA, electronic percussion. American-made and known around the world for durability, customer service, and free lifetime technical support. Call Pentec and talk to real people in South Carolina, USA. 800-445-0506. Ask Pentec if they can ship your order same day. Mention Artist First and get a 10% discount on orders placed direct to Pentec USA.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ron Chepsik, and I am a co-producer and co-host of Crime Beat, Issues, Personalities, and Controversies from the Dark Side. We hope you can join my co-producer and co-host, Willie Hareb, and me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Artist First Worldwide Radio Network. We will take you into the back alleys and boardrooms of the world's most fascinating subject, crime. We have a diverse group of guests on the show who will talk about a wide range of fascinating subjects. They include organized crime, drug trafficking, government corruption, sports scandals, victims' rights, and crime as it relates to the war on terror. Our shows are timely and always stimulating. So we hope you can tune in on Thursday at 8 p.m. for another dynamite program about crime. Past shows are available free. Visit artistfirst.com. Stay tuned.
Time to start wrapping up the NHSCA Sports Hour for this evening. Yesterday was the National Letter of Intent signing day for college football, and lots of activity around the country as everybody putting their name on the dotted line. None bigger than Doriel Green Beckham out of Hillcrest High School in Missouri. He signed with the hometown team, Missouri, if you will, and that'll be really interesting. He's America's all-time leading receiver as far as catching passes on the yardage side of things, and he will join Matty Mauk out of Kenton, Ohio, the all-time passing leader in America. Those two will play their college football for the Missouri Tigers, but big news yesterday is Doriel Green Beckham, the number one recruit. Many consider him number one in the country. A lot of the services had him at the top of the list, makes his decision. Now, who won the day? According to Max Preps and CBS Sports, it was Alabama, landing the number one recruiting class in the land. Following the Crimson Tide, number two, Texas, three, Ohio State, four, Michigan, Florida, number five, Florida State, number six, Miami of Florida, seven, eighth is Oklahoma, nine is USC, and Stanford, number 10. Of course, that's all subjective. That's just what Max Preps and CBS Sports said at the end of it all. It will all take place on the field. So do these players become stars and then move to the next level? Well, that remains to be seen, and we'll know a little bit more next year when they hit the campuses and begin their careers as freshmen. We want to remind you that coming up in just a few minutes is High School Football America. We've got three great guests on the show tonight. It will all start with John Kitna, the new head coach at Lincoln High School in Tacoma, Washington. John Kitna sounds like a familiar name. It should. He is a 16-year NFL quarterback veteran, and he's back at his alma mater, not only coaching football, but also teaching mathematics. Also on the show, Jamie DuBose, the new head coach at Florence High School in Alabama. He left the job at Prattville, where he turned the team into a national power. He won two state championships at the 6A level in the 4 years as the head coach, and Jamie will join us to talk about why he made the change. And we'll wrap up the show with Mark Wolpert, executive director of the Maxwell Football Club, talking about the player of the year on the national side of things for the club. And he'll also talk about the big gala that they have in Atlantic City coming up in March. It's the 75th anniversary. This year they are honoring Andrew Luck, the Stanford quarterback, as their college player of the year, and Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers quarterback, as their National Football League player of the year. Want to remind you to go to GTM Sportswear's Athlete of the Month vote right now at nhsca.com. We've got six athletes up for nomination. The voting will close out on February the 27th. Our nominees this month, and there's bios for each on the website. Brianna Stewart from she is from New York. She's a basketball player, and she's up for nomination. Siler Miles from Mullen High School in Colorado. Isaiah Martinez, a junior wrestler from California. LaJordan Wilkerson, a basketball player from Texas. Mark Gray, a wrestler from Blair Academy in New Jersey. And Tyra Buss, a great sophomore basketball player from Mount Carmel High School in Illinois. They are all up for nomination, and there for your voting purposes to figure out who will be the February GTM Sportswear Athlete of the Month. We want to thank our other sponsors on tonight's show. In addition to GTM Sportswear, it's xcnation.com, Dr. Jared Spencer, Gatorade's G-Series, GTM Sportswear, U.S. Navy, Cliff Keen, Dalamuir, and All-American Wrestling Supply. Don't forget, coming up in just a few minutes, High School Football America. Stay tuned for that. Now for this week, this is Jeff Fisher saying good night and good sports from Chicago. You've been listening to the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network. We'll be right back.